special this morning. Leroy, have you decided what you're going to sing yet?
Our reading today is from fourth chapter of Matthew, verses 12 through 17. When Jesus heard that John had been put in prison, he returned to Galilee. Leaving Nazareth, he went and lived in Capernaum, which was by the lake in the area of Zebulun and Naphtali, to fulfill what was said through the prophet Isaiah. The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, the way to the sea along the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people living in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. From that time on, Jesus began to preach, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near."
Amen. Thank you, Brother Wayne. Good morning. Isn't it great to be in the house of the Lord? Oh, and yes, Leroy, our God is real. All right, so as we continue on here in Matthew, we've talked about John the Baptist coming and Jesus' birth. John the Baptist then as the forerunner coming, and he was preaching, not printing yet, but... He was preaching, repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. And now, Jesus has been baptized by John. We saw the Holy Spirit come in bodily form and rest upon him and stay on him. He was the first one who had the Holy Spirit to come and stay on him. And that was a sign for John the Baptist to know that he was the Messiah. And he proclaimed that. Then we find later John has been put in prison. And now Jesus, after temptation in the wilderness, he's starting his preaching career, and he's preaching the exact same message that John the Baptist was preaching. Repent, for the kingdom of God has come near. You know, you think about all of this going on from the birth of Jesus. It had been 450 years since the prophets had heard anything from God, from heaven. 450 years had passed. And there was no word, no prophet spoke up. No one came forward proclaiming that God said. And now, all of a sudden, a baby is born, and he is God in the flesh. The people are beginning to hear something different. John the Baptist, 6 months older than Jesus, his cousin, and he goes out and proclaims that the Messiah has come. Make ready the way. He came, John came to prepare the way for Jesus. And it says that he leveled the mountains and filled in the low spots. And in other words, his message was meant to where people could stop having this railroad of highs and lows in their life about, you know, what's going on spiritually. Now they can know the source directly. They can be connected to the one who can keep us on an even keel. We can always have our faith strong and steady. Doesn't mean that we still won't have valleys and mountaintops. But even through the valley, our faith remains. When we're on the mountaintop, our faith remains. These people, they had to run to a priest and make an offering and all of this stuff when they committed a sin. We don't have to do all that because that was all done for us. Now, we just have to put our faith in the one that came. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. John began preaching that and baptizing people. He was baptizing them not in the Holy Spirit, but for forgiveness of their sins. They were coming and confessing their faults. You know, that's one of the first things we know that we have to do in order to be prepared to receive Christ is we have to confess our sins. We have to confess that we are sinners. The Bible makes it very clear, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And so, since we are all sinners, then we all need a Savior. And Jesus came to fulfill that role, to be our Savior. You know, if you could picture this in your mind, Jesus just come out of the wilderness where he had been tempted by the devil. And probably one of the first things that he heard is that John has been arrested and is in prison. Now, I think that was another trick of the devil, because the devil tries any way he can to discourage us. And if you think about this, here Jesus had just come out of the wilderness. He'd been 40 days and 40 nights without food and water. He was tempted by the devil. He ended up, you know, telling the devil, leave, get away from me. And for a time, it said, for a time, he went away. Didn't say he went away permanently. You know, we can get deal with the devil today, but tomorrow he'll be right back, right? We can kick his butt. We can send him back to hell where he belongs. But tomorrow he's going to be back. He'll find something else, some other way of trying to defeat us, some other way of trying to destroy us, trying to destroy our faith. And here, Jesus comes back. He's probably had time to eat and get nourished and get his strength back a little bit. And then they come and tell him, well, John's been arrested. He's in prison. Well, Jesus, instead of being downtrodden about it, he just decides it's time for me to move on and for me to take over the ministry that John had begun. And so he picks up where John the Baptist left off. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Now, why would you think that Jesus would decide to preach the same message that the people had already heard from John? Why would he do that? Well, because that's what we have to do. Repent. On the day of Pentecost, the Bible says that the full gospel message was preached. And when they asked, when the crowd asked the apostles, what must we do? What was their answer? Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins and to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So this repentance thing is pretty important, right? So what is repentance? The word in the original language means to turn from, and also to turn to. You're turning from your old life, your life of sin, your life that got you into trouble, got you where you were, that made you realize you needed a Savior. You know, I can remember that before I was a Christian, a lot of the things that I did just got me in deeper trouble. I got to get myself, I'd open my mouth and get in a little further, you know. And sometimes I still do that, by the way. But anyway, you know, so we find that, you know, drinking doesn't work for us. I mean, sure, it makes you numb, makes you not feel. But when you don't feel all the time, you also don't feel good. You don't feel the joy of the Lord. Drugs is the same way. Drugs just makes you high for a little while and then very, very low and very ashamed of yourself. You hide. You want to hide these things from everybody. Why? Because you know that other people are not going to understand. They're not going to approve. And so we try to hide all these things because they're sinful. And above all, we would like to hide from God, but that's not possible. You know, people have tried many multiple sexual partners trying to please the flesh. Well, that doesn't work either. I mean, sure, it's nice for a little while, but then again, you're all alone. And sooner or later, all of this stuff catches up with us. No matter what our sin is, whether it's theft, whether it's chasing money, chasing dreams, the American dream, whatever our sin leads us to, eventually we get to the point to where we feel empty. We feel like there's just not enough. Now what? You know, Howard Hughes, multi-billionaire, was asked, When will you have enough? And he said, when I make my next million, you know. When I have a little bit more. And that's how the flesh feeds. When you have a little bit more of this sin, when you have a little bit more of that sin. And you know what happens if you keep drinking to the point to where you drink too much? You die. You know what happens if you keep getting high until you have so much that it kills you? Is that enough? No, apparently it's not, because even one of my own sons OD'd twice and said he doesn't have a problem. Just keep right on using. Just keep going. So when it comes to sin, the flesh says, there is no such thing as enough. You got to have more. More pleasure, more fun, more sin. Folks, the Bible tells us the devil came to kill, to steal, and to destroy. Now, If he can get you to kill yourself by OD, kill yourself by drinking yourself to death, or any other way, he's happy. Because that's what his goal was. If he can't get you to kill yourself, then he can try to destroy you. Get you to do some sin that's so embarrassing that once it's out, your life's destroyed. Your reputation's gone. Or if he can just kill your faith. Kill your faith. All of these things are the goals that Satan is trying to do. He roams around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. That's why repentance, confession and repentance is so important. If you are holding a secret, what you think is a secret in your heart, the devil can use that. He has power over you. But once you confess that, once it's out in the open, you break the power that Satan and the demons have over you, folks. It's gone. We must repent. We must confess. We must repent. Turn from that. Once you confess it, you break the power that the demons have over you. Then you can turn to God, turn from that lifestyle and turn to God and be strong in the faith that he puts in our hearts. You know, we've studied the fruit of the Spirit before. Peace, patience, kindness. One of those is self-control. If we could just learn to understand what all this means. Peace, patience, kindness, self-control. All of these things are already put within us, folks. It's not something that we have to develop on our own. The Holy Spirit gives us all of these things in a small measure, but we have to practice them. We have to exercise them. We have to use what God has given us. Otherwise, it's useless, and we will give an account to God one day for what we did and did not do with what he's already provided for us. Think about that. Consider, how is my life going in comparison to these goals that the Holy Spirit put within us? Peace, patience, kindness, self-control. All the others, there's seven. How are we doing? Where do we start? Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. The kingdom of heaven is right here, right now. And if you need to repent, if it's something in your life that you need to confess, don't leave here holding on to that and allowing Satan to keep that power over you. Confess it. Whether you do it in your seat, confess it to God, or you come forward and I'll pray with you, you can confess it here. But break that bond that those demons have over you and declare yourself a child of God. And be set free and live. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. Brother Bob.